everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you about 55, 58 minutes. I have with me today someone I've known since he was a really little kid, but now he's a big guy. He's also our city councilor. And I applaud him for throwing his hat in the ring. He's a young, he's a father. He's got young kiddos. He's a businessman. But I've watched him on the city council meetings because basically I don't have a life. So I watch the council meetings, subcommittee meetings, school committee, subcommittee. But his name is Matt Wren. And Matt, before we get started, my son Patrick says to say hello that you guys were buddies 25 years ago in Boston.
Yeah, that was my old fighting days. Yeah.
in Boston. There you go. What? Listen. Thank you for running for office. Really, and I mean that sincerely. Only because it takes a variety of people with different skills to make government work. And a variety of people have different skills that don't really care that much about themselves, you know. And you, what have you found different than you expected?
I didn't have any expectations coming in other than what other people have told me. But I really enjoy the aspect of meeting new people, talking to people that I've never met before. And, you know, they've got an issue or a problem. I really enjoy coming up with a solution or at least, you know, facilitating the process for them. That's really the joy of it. I do enjoy that part. I really do. I feel bad sometimes I can't get to all the different community meetings and the different community functions because of my career, but I do, you know, I try to take advantage of every, you know, every military aspect that we, every military ceremony or anything that has to do with that. So I do my best to try to make everything I can, but.
It's not easy because of the caveats that I just gave. You are a dad, you are a family guy, you have a career, but you still are. And I'll use the word, you don't have to agree with it, but you still are sacrificing some free time to be with the city.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, and they say, I want to go and run for city council. Dude, follow a counselor around for a week or two and find out. it's not just Tuesday nights.
No. And I've actually, you know, integrated my family into some of the things like, my kids like to do some of the functions and things. I took my two younger kids to the National Night Out 2 weeks ago, and they had fun. You know, they met some people in the city, you know, they got to pet the district attorney's dog and chat with him for a bit. So, you know, it is a family thing as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of big issues coming up, and I guess the one, and I interviewed Dina Lampiazzi the other day, and you guys have done a great job with the trash issue. Now, I know there's people who are going to send me hate mail about that but we can't keep kicking the can down the road for a minority of people who want a smaller can or a bigger can or whatever. I think it's been the most productive and has solicited the most input from the citizenry. Then the last couple of times it failed because it was dictatorial. This is what you're getting. And you know, we're an old city made up of old people. And I applaud the city council for bringing it this far along. I also applaud Casella and the city workers for having all the answers to all the questions.
Do we have all the answers?
Well, in this respect, when people would say, well, what about the old garbage cans? They handle that. We're going to be picking those up. What about the side? I don't know if you have all the answers, but I'll tell you, the old, I remember back several of the events to do this, and they didn't have any of the answers. You know,
right.
It was basically take the, what was it, 90 gallon, I could live in a god darn thing.
Well, in my challenge, I mean, selfishly, you know, I didn't like the 48 gallon. You know, I see the logic in the reasoning behind it. I'm going to have to get a second barrel. You know, I got a big family, you know, during the holidays, it's a nightmare for trash. But, you know, conversely, we can say, you know, we're going to be pushing now more for recycling. It'll give you make you more mindful of what you're throwing out, how you're
exactly
throwing stuff out. Some people will start composting, you know, some people, you know, and they'll think, all right, well, I'm not going to throw this yogurt container out into the trash. Now I got to clean it out and bring it out into the recycling bin. So, you know, and it's, there's other, we're not the only community that has changed from the trash process to these toter systems. There's, I mean, I lived in a community in the Boston area.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an easy transition. One day we had regular trash, the next day we had barrels. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Some people, one thing about Pittsfield is we don't like to change much. Some of these, so the change like this might be bad for some people, but, you know, I think we'll be fine in the long run. I think it's a good move for the city, economically, professionally, for the people that work for Casella. Contracts will be lower. We'll save some money in the long run. You may not, you know, may not see it right away, but I think it is good for the city. I really do.
I agree with you, because it is, the more we continue to haul our trash away, those prices are going up with gas. Yeah. Diesel's ridiculous if you look at it.
You're also looking at, and I'm sorry to cut you out, Bill, but you're also looking at, you know, Casella's, as far as personnel goes, you know, I'm sure that they got people on workers' comp, you know, that are hurting their backs, you know, lifting barrels, or, you know, the cumbersome items that are left on the side of the road by some people. It's going to drive business costs down for them.
I think so.
Which, and we get the savings, hopefully, on the other end as taxpayers.
Yeah, and you're right with that. I mean, I see what some people leave out, and I see, and I've said this on air, I'll say it again. Casella, in my opinion, is so superior to the one that we've had because of various things. I've seen the other one drop a bag on the street and leave it, you know. And so, I mean, hopefully it's going to be a nice working meshing relationship where everybody, their costs go down, so our costs go down. And I agree that, I mean, I can't even fathom what workers' comp insurance is for them. I mean, it's got to be astronomical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now you're going to have one person on the truck, you know, one or two people on the truck, you know, and stuff does happen. You know, you're going to have issues where, you know, the computer's not configured properly and there's a barrel that's dropped. But, you know, from my experience with Casella as an agency, they've always been good. Even when, you know, in the short period of time I've been office and they've missed a part of their route and pickup, you call over there, they'll say, yeah, they get somebody out there the next day. So I have no issues with them. We're definitely going to hear some complaints, you know, about jumping, you know, just random trash dumping around the city, but it's happening now.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say. What,
it doesn't
that's
matter.
Not even new, you know.
Right. So, I like it. I like the move. Not happy with the barrel size, but I like the move.
And again, you're mature about it. You know, I get people screaming at me that they're too big or they're too small. You know, you got to go with the flow for a while. Give it a shot, and then if everybody says they're too big or they're too small, then the city, I'm sure, will rethink it. But we've got to get something implemented. I've been around a lot of planning. And then on several occasions, I drew the short straw to work with the team to implement it. And it looks good on paper until you implement. So we'll take it. But I think Casella's really worked this through. Yeah. So what did you I got to ask you this, because and then we can chat. What did you think of the budget process? You're a businessman.
Bill, I'm actually a fraud investigator. So
well, there you go.
I looked at the budget process. You know, it's a learning curve for me. You know, you forget that you need to take into consideration, you know, different labor contracts and yeah. union contracts and that type of stuff. I will say, you know, when I did watch the budget season last year, it was, I didn't really understand it as much. And now I have a grasp of it. You know, and I think to the mayor's credit, I think he did a good job trying to appease us. And it looks like a lot of the costs, unfortunately, are coming from the schools, you know, and that's going to be, you know, another issue next year.
They're coming from the schools, but I would caution, and maybe the end product. Oh, I'm sorry. The end product at the schools, but we have to look to Boston and the Department of Education, who continually makes up reporting stuff and this and that. And so while there's a product, there's a problem or perceived problem, I don't think we should blame it all on the school department, because much of it, and what kind of, there are people on that committee, that the council, that know that a lot of this stuff is mandated from Boston.
Right. No, I agree. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are, there's a lot of things that are, we can work with, you know what I mean? We need to work on a lot of things. I know the mandates from Boston are one thing. And I think part of the reason why we have such a big budget in the schools is, you know, the amount of schools we have, you know, the amount of personnel, the administration. I know there's some cuts that can be made elsewhere in other departments in the city. And this year was kind of scarce, because we, you know, the mayor prior to us getting the budget did a good job of getting the cuts there. So,
No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, let's find the devil in the detail. The devil in the detail is, well, I got to have the state's demanding these reports quarterly or monthly, or what? Who's going to do them? Who's going to collect the information? Who's going to? So in that, and the other part, and I will say this, let me say this first. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests.
Right.
In no way represent the Pittsfield School Department School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council's office, and or the 17 people that are now jaywalking somewhere across North Street. I every so often I have to go up North Street to go to the Berkshire, rehab there.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I got a big car here. You got a little body. It's not really, but yeah. I worked in the 90s with the Department of Justice putting together a violent youthful offender program because of all the kids being adjudicated adults and sent to the penitentiary.
Right.
And I'm writing my third book now about some of that. The schools are not like when we were in them, especially you and I have got a couple of generations on each other, but and I think trying to address the more difficult one, challenging, I don't say difficult, but I will speak from my experience. Not one of the ones that I interviewed, and I interviewed every one of them personally, did well in school. And a lot of them, for a lot of reasons, mostly familial. Their families, they either didn't care, they weren't there, I don't know. And that's not 100%, because we had some that came from very well-to-do families. It just got mixed up with the wrong group, and there you go.
Well, yeah, and I think the reason why, you know, I was, and myself and a number of other counselors were, I want to say, hard on the school. And I don't want to make it seem I'm just after the schools, and, you know, I don't have any respect for what they do, or, you know, I think that they're just wasted money. My concern was, you know, why with the administration building and then that stuff, why are we focusing so much on pulling these, like for the last two administrators that were just hired for central office? Why are we pulling valuable educational assets out of schools and put them in, putting them into the in the administration building when they're more more suitable to be in the schools helping kids.
Yeah.
You know, and helping classrooms. They're benefiting the classrooms, they're benefiting the kids. Because let's be honest, a lot of these kids that may not have the greatest home life.
Oh, you're absolutely
them,
right.
A lot of them rely on the teachers, and they look forward to coming into school, and they look forward to learning new things and you know, almost a respite from a bad home life. So why are we pulling valuable assets out of the classroom and putting them into the administration building? I don't understand.
That is certainly a legitimate question. And I will dovetail in a true story. I had this kid, he had stabbed a guy in an armed robbery. And so he came to the, and he had other minor crimes, but that you could see it escalating, you know what I mean? From shoplifting and then ended up to, but anyhow, long story short, when I interviewed him, he said, you know, I got a behavioral problem in school. I said, well, we don't tolerate behavioral problems here. We really know how to deal with them. But he said, no, he said, you know, I had detention every day. I said, dude, you sound like you're proud of that. He goes, no, I'm not proud of it, but it was safe there. I said, what do you mean? You don't want to go home? He said, my mother was a crack dealer. So other crack addicts, other crack dealers, cops, somebody was breaking through the door at all hours of day and night.
Right.
And I was just safer in school. And I try to share that with teachers. It's because the outward, it's a survival mechanism.
Right. Not everybody sees that, you know, and I agree. You see some kids that, you know, they're going to school without coats in the winter. And, you know, they're wearing the same shoes or the same pants, you know, 5-6 days in a row. You know, it's like, okay, we help some people. How do we figure this out? You know, and you know, I don't know. There's some stuff on the horizon that school committee member Garrity's brought up about bringing the youth group or the youth commission back, which I think is a good idea. You know, it's gonna be a good resource for some people some kids to maybe find other activities to do. We have a lot of great. The YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, you know, there's a lot of good programs out there. So
we grew up, my generation, your mom, we grew up at the CYC at the Boys
Club.
I mean, you know, and we walked, you know.
I got out of school. I was at the CYC 7 days, 6 days a week, you know, eating, coming on Saturdays too. And I would be there right until a parent got out of work and come pick me up.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, some kids in this community is they don't have that, you know, luxury of having, you know, two parents or parents that are able to pick them up or, you know, give them those resources.
For those just tuning in, you probably don't recognize this good looking guy. His name is Matt Wren. He's a city councilor, a ward councilor, and it's his first term.
Yep.
And in my humble opinion, I think he's doing a great job. I watch these things, you know. I also, going back to the budget piece, I say this, and people are probably saying, if he says it again, I'm going to shoot him. but when we cut budgets, we want to be careful we're not cutting services. Because I believe your father was a fireman. My father was a fireman. And I know there was a lot of chatter, as we used to say in my old life, a lot of chatter about, we're going to close a fire station. Really? Which one?
Right.
Which one? Because then what happens is that district, if you check, maybe you got to double check, is that going to increase their fire insurance?
Yeah, I was never, you know, I've had many conversations. I had a conversation last night with some folks in my ward about, I don't mind paying more taxes, but I want to make sure that I'm getting great services. Right. And I'm a public safety guy, so I'm not going to ever, you know, just arbitrarily cut police budget or a fire budget, you know, obviously within reason, I'll look into, you know, certain cuts if we need to. But there's no way I would be in favor of shutting down a firehouse. No chance. It may be seconds of a difference of response time, but it could be in life or death. So I'm out on closing the firehouse.
Well, let me just share too, what you just said is so true, because the next battle cry that we hear all the time is Pittsfield's an aging city. Okay. What have you done to address that? Have you added more handicapped parking spaces and shopping areas? I had Dina on yesterday or the day before, and she'll be on. And I said, I almost took a picture at Walmart. They got a gazillion of them out there. And
yeah, but nobody, every one of them's not, they have filled. Handicapped spots.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, with that, are there more cuts where we can get walkers and wheelchairs? And please, no more cobblestones. I went with Mayor Tyre, God love her, up the street with Johnny Ostolino and a bunch of people with walkers and blind. And those things would just bow the blind people's cane with the court, like Dunham Mall there. God.
Yeah.
So we're New England, we're not California, but I throw that out to you because you hear it all the time. Pittsfield's an aging city. What are you doing to accommodate the aging?
Well, I mean,
it's not directed personally at you. I mean, the whole structure of the thing.
No, I mean, you bring up a good point. Oh, sorry, Bill. Did I lose you? All right.
No.
You know, you bring up
I'm
a good
not
point.
That easy to get rid of, trust me.
You know, I think part of that, one of the, like, the trying to think of the word. We are going to be going looking at the process of getting water meters, you know, and hopefully, you know, at a discount for our aging population. We're doing other things with, for example, the trash removal. You know, if there's an issue and you're unable to get the barrel to the street, they'll do it for you.
Yeah.
We have great elder services in this city. The senior center is a great resource for people.
They should cast Jim Clark in bronze.
I know.
So pigeons can have a place to live the rest of their lives. But
right.
No, really. The Fryo Center, all the senior activities here, the activity piece is second to none, in my opinion. What I'm saying is what you just said. We're going to put in water meters. Let's cut a little bit for the seniors, you know, that kind of stuff. And the physical stuff. I know I beat the horse to death, but I see people struggling to get up over a curb with a walker.
Right.
You know, and it is what it is.
And I think a lot of the projects that are going to be done in the future, you know, have more access for wheelchairs, you know, and the times are changing, right? So even DOT projects, they're going to, you know, on main thoroughfares, they're going to require handicap ramp access, or, you know, with the crosswalks, they're going to have to be access for handicap. So it is, you know, it's a slow process. Unfortunately, in society, as you know, the elderly are forgotten a lot. And, you know, I'm not a fan of that either. It's wrong. We need to be better.
Yeah, and especially if we keep saying it. If we didn't keep saying, "Wow, an elderly city, we're an aging city," work with somebody smarter than me, and say what does that mean entirely? I know some of the things that I encounter, you know, with my cane and walking and all that. I mean, I avoid on a mall, like I avoid, you know, the swamps, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention too, because you're the kind of, I believe from what I've seen, you're the kind of guy that'll follow through and find out. And, you know, if we're going to put in a new sidewalk, are we making it handicapped accessible? Are we cutting it so you can get a wheelchair on, you know, and things like that. And so that's all. I mean, as we go forward, this is a new administration with a new council. And as I said to other counselors that I've interviewed, I like the collegiality amongst the counselors instead of the nipping and
right.
And nobody wins. It's not a thing of win or lose. It's what's good for the people.
Right. I think, in my opinion, like I didn't sit on the council in the last group. I watched the meetings. You know, I think for some reason this group, it just works. I mean, we don't all necessarily agree politically right. on everything. We don't necessarily agree on everything that comes out. But I think everybody gets along. We're all willing to work together. And we're all willing to make pragmatic decisions, you know, and come up with ideas that it's better for the community. I think, you know, people forget that city government is not, you know, Republican, Democrat. It's right. It's more or less helping the people, getting, you know, being a facilitator of problems, essentially, for helping people, you know, and making the right decisions for the people, the taxpayers in the community, because we're also taxpayers in the community,
right.
You know. I want to make sure that, you know, my family of five is taken care of and my services are up to par.
Yeah, and I think from what Matt, from just watching you and on the television, you know, the meetings and stuff, I think you're doing that, and that's
Thank
a compliment. I think you're doing it in a rational manner. I think. And I, past council, sometimes there were people in there that were just irrational. I mean, they beat a dead horse knowing they didn't have the votes, but just wouldn't give it up. Well, right. You know what? That accomplishes nothing.
You're right.
Frustration.
You're right. It's not going to, you know, arguing over things when people, you know, if you're not willing to be open-minded and change my mind, you know, if I'm hell-bent on something, you know, and you can come up with a reason or two or a different variable that's going to make me change my mind and look at it differently. I'm going to say, you're right. I mean, you know, you're right. Let's do it this way.
Yeah.
And that's happened a few times this year. I mean, you know, not everybody sees everything that's happening, you know, in, you know, doing research, reading contracts, right. Reading, you know, petitions, things, you know, there's a lot of different factors involved there. And I think for the most part, everybody on this council is doing their best to make sure that it's a great community to live in and, you know, we're moving up. So.
Yeah. And I truly believe that like you do. I think I didn't always through some past councils. I thought people were grandstanding and playing to the camera and all that. But I don't see that. I don't see that in this one. Cause I watched them. Yeah. You know, you're making progress.
Right.
And I consider positive progress. Do I agree with everything that's happened? No.
No.
But that's okay. I don't. I can express that in the voting box if I'm not happy. That's right. What I say. Go ahead.
I was going to say one of my biggest gripes is we need to be better with communication with the citizens of Pittsfield when. You know, I'm hearing, and I know we need the road work done. We know it. We know, you know, roads are going to be closed or they're going to be detours. But we need to know, you know, the communication needs to be city contractors, councilors, citizens, councilors. We all got to, you know, we have to be aware. We got to let our people know, you know, hey, maybe avoid this street today. Or maybe, you know, this is going to be closed. It might be a challenge. Maybe leave, you know, people are late for work because of some of this work. These construction. Hey, this is going to be shut down. Maybe leave for work 10, 15 minutes earlier than normal just to make sure you're on time.
Well, one of the things I do in the morning, I don't want to give this secret away, but I turn the scan on because they give the street closures. This closed, this
right.
closed, yeah. That, you know, here's the alternate. Because I, you know, like I said, I go back and forth to the BMC area and it's always what's next.
Yeah.
But,
and I think ultimately when that project specifically is done, it's going to be a little better, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so, too. We're going to take a break. I'm here today, and I'm so honored to have him on. He's someone I've known since, well, I hate to say a little because you're a freaking giant, but since he was a little kid. His name is Matt Wrenn. He's a wonderful guy. He's business guy. He's a fraud investigator. He's on our city council, and he's, in my opinion, doing a great job because I watch it. And I will say to everybody out there what I just said to him. It's a much more collegial city council than I've seen in a while. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, the simulcasting on PC TV Channel 1. Now, I know this upsets some of you, but this is my flag. This is our flag. A lot of my good friends and acquaintances are buried under it. And all those flags you see in the cemetery, waving in the breeze, at one point in time, someone signed their life, their name on the line that meant they could have to give up their life for this flag. I'm really discouraged at some of the stuff I see going on. We'll be right back. WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, simulcasting PC TV 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here today. I'm pretty, I got someone who's young on the city council and smart and a businessman, a family man, and what I consider a really good freshman city councilor. And here's how I judge that. He listens and then he formulates and then he talks. And it isn't the same battle cry. We got to cut taxes. We got to cut taxes. Well, I pay taxes too. He approaches things very, and this is a compliment, man, in a methodical way, and listens to everybody and then makes up his own mind. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's a great compliment. I mean, I may be a little, I'm skeptical as well sometimes, and a lot of that has to do with my last, 20 years of career, of investigating fraud. So I kind of look at things a little differently, and I'm,
It's like being a cop.
it's, not everything's, nefarious. So I need to look at things a little more clearly, too.
Well, I think, though, that, going forward, with all that we have to do, I think we talked before, just before the break, folks that are just joining us now, we talked about communication. And in my humble opinion, this mayor's office is really communicating a ton of stuff that we kind of never knew before.
Right.
The only thing I would hope to, and I don't know how you facilitate this, but I would like to see something come out of post-city council meetings, that, like a newsletter or something, after every city council meeting. And it doesn't have to be an in-depth, 50-page deal. This was discussed, this was tabled, this was voted 6-3, 2-9, whatever. Because I don't think this sounds crazy, but I don't think unless you're in politics or involved with the city, you fully understand what the city council does. And it's
right. That's a good idea. I mean, I wrote it down too. Like you said, a lot of people don't know what happens if they, unable to go to the meetings or unable to watch the meetings. You know, what does this mean for me? Why did, you know, like, for example, we had came across the meeting on Tuesday was a discussion about a pay increase for employees, some certain employees.
Right. I saw that.
Now, we didn't vote on that raise, for lack of a better term. We voted on sending it over to the Finance Committee to discuss. And then the Finance Committee will get together and they'll talk about the pros and the cons and the logical reasons for giving the raise. And then it'll come back to us and it'll probably be debated again. And then either it'll go through or it won't.
Yeah. And you know, that to me, I can remember Lou Markham was a city councilor, and he and I would do a show before every city council meeting. And what you just said is so Lou. I remember it was a call, and this person called and said, "Hi, how can I spend $1 million? They just talked about it for 10 minutes. Well, they didn't realize two other committees, Ways and Means and Finance, had already discussed the pros and cons and gave it an approval, you know?
Yeah. So it had been in the works for 6 months, you know?
Yeah. And I try to use this program to educate and inform people on the process. Because it isn't just you turned on tonight and they just spent $1 million. Yeah.
Right. It may seem like that too. You know, it does seem like that. I can see that. And even for me, I see it sometimes. I'm like, well, we just spent, you know, we just spent $304,000 in a matter of seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you find the most challenging?
You know, I think the most challenging part for me is making, you know, making sure that the decisions I'm making are really right, you know, and yeah. I know it may not seem like a big deal. Hey, I'm voting or I'm voting yes, yeah, or I'm opposing. That's the biggest challenge, is making sure that I'm taking all things into account and I'm making the best decision that I think people in the community would like, and it being good for them.
Yeah, it has to be a yin and a yang kind of thing sometimes, you know. Yeah, I'm all for this, but boy, is it expensive. You know,
right.
can we nip and tuck it somewhere? You know, I hear a lot of people complain about the Springside House, but I have to tell you, as a kid growing up in the North End, and I knew Vinnie Hebert's daughter, Gail, and his sons, Vinnie probably put more money into that than the city ever did because he lived right there. I mean, I've been up there when he's been painting and my father said this, and I agree with him. Let's not be so quick to tear things down. And he was addressing the train station at the time.
Right.
And now people say, oh boy, we should have never torn that train station down. Well, it's too late. You know, and I think what we have in the council today, I could be wrong, we have a degree of intelligence and a degree of Pittsfield history and a degree of preserving some of that history and some of that old Pittsfield feeling, I guess. That's all. I drove by the GE the other day. It's not just they're tearing down buildings. It's not just an end of an era. It's the end of a lifestyle.
Right.
You know, people were graduated from high school, went to work in the GE, kind of manual labor job. Next thing you know, they're buying houses and cars.
You got neighborhoods in the Parkside neighborhood, and I know at least 25 people, you know, they're elderly, but they all live within 4, 5, 6 houses of each other, and they all work. And they didn't even know each other at work, but they all worked at GE, and they had full careers at GE. Yeah. So you're right, 100%.
And so many of them in those days, my grandparents and grew up on Lincoln Street, 100 Lincoln Street. And they walked. My uncle worked in the GE as a manager. They walked to work.
Yeah.
Every day. When I had that beat as a beat cop, was called Post 9 and 10 on Tyler Street. You would see the lights in the convent go on at about 4:30. And by 5 o'clock, there was movement on the street going to S&J's Variety for coffee and breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the street came alive. That's an era that will be hard to replace.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I get a little nostalgic, you know, looking back at some photographs and things like that. I see, you know, you see them online or whatever through social media of, you know, what this community was like, you know, even back in the 50s and 60s. And it's hard to replicate that. It really is. And I almost want us to try to replicate it in a sense of, you know, having a strong community, you know, and I've lived in other communities. I've owned homes in other communities, and there's just something special about this community. Excuse me.
People don't believe that. I've lived all over the world. And I mean, I could have retired where the taxes were cheaper. But anyhow, I didn't, because there is something special about this community. And boy, if you don't believe, if you have a sick kid or a sick husband or your house burns down, next thing you know, they're having a fundraiser at the GEAA or Berkshire Hills and raising thousands of dollars. You don't find that everywhere.
No, you don't. And this has been, and my wife wasn't born here. She's from out of town, and she's fully engaged in this community. You know, she's a member of a board for my kids' hockey program at the Boys and Girls Club. She volunteers for everything. She, you know, she's very involved as well, because she didn't have that in other communities out east. It's something special out here. It really is.
Well, just
and you hate to see that go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's why we have to preserve it. We have to work. The 4th of July parade. You know, the years that we didn't have the 4th of July parade, I have to tell you, was what do we do? what do we do this morning? It's the 4th of July. Yeah, but there's no parade.
It's a staple of this city, and it needs to stay. They need to do whatever they can to preserve that, because this year's parade was great. There were so many people there. You know, my kids walked in it, you know, with their hockey program, you know, and this, when they were little, we would come, when we weren't even living in Pittsfield, they would come back and my father would stick them on a fire truck, you know, and they're little waving there. They think everybody's waving at them. They got their American flags flying. It truly is one of the most remarkable events,
right?
You know, I'd argue in the Northeast.
Yeah. And for years, you know, it was broadcast on public television as America's parade.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I do want to thank all the people who worked on that parade and work on it, and to include the mayor. He's been the backbone, and now he's gone and other people are taking over. But I can remember to show you this and then we'll move on. He came on the show a few years back and it looked like the parade wasn't going to happen. There just wasn't the money. And he came on my show, morning show, and made a plea. And Matt, it was like the skies opened up. People didn't know. And next thing you know, the money started flowing in. We had the parade and a little cushion for next year. As we go forward, what do you foresee for the city as far as restructuring? Do you see any restructuring at all?
As far as
departments? You know, when they brought Barrett down here, I have to tell you this story, you don't remember. John Barrett from North Adams, he was mayor for 26 years.
Yep.
That child could spot a pothole at 400 meters. Jimmy Roberto, I love like a brother. Jimmy Roberto was our mayor. He was a big picture guy. He'd fall in the pothole, you know. And that's not criticizing him. It's just but Barrett did some restructuring that I thought was very smart with public utilities and all that. And so if we have a snowstorm, everybody works the snowstorm. Ah, not just only highway department. No. You're a city employee.
Yeah.
So I think some of that restructuring is cost savings.
I think sometimes, you know, it's up for discussion now that there's going to be an assistant superintendent to Department of Public Works. They want to add that position, which sometimes maybe you have to spend more to get more. I think in this instance, if we can have some individual or individuals take the burden of a lot of tasks off our commissioners and our directors, I think it'll make things go a little bit more smoothly. Because you, let's be honest, these people can't do everything. You know, I don't want to see Commissioner Morales as throwing them under the bus or anything, but the man is he's spread pretty thin, I think. You know, and he's got a lot of important tasks to do, and I get it. You know, it's difficult to be able to facilitate everything. You need help, and you need competent people to do that. And I think that it's going to be a big step if we do, you know, add that position into the Department of Public Works, for example.
Oh, I don't disagree. And I think that, and this won't win me any favors, but yeah, we need to beef up some of these other departments. You know, we went through a purge several years ago of the highway department. Now, you know, I can't complain at all about one person who works for the city of Pittsfield, because especially like Vinnie Barbarotta, I don't know what they pay Vinnie, but when I used to have to drive out to the studio in the morning, Vinnie be out checking the roads. Yeah. He'd already done all of, you know, and the guys and the gals, maybe I was a civil servant too long and took all the abuses of when people said, well, you know, you just sit around all day, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. You use Vinny as an example. I could text Vinny, hey, Vinny, do me a favor, you know, no rush.
Done.
This drain needs to be cleared out. You know, it's causing a problem over here. And people don't see that, but he's going right out. You know, he'll have somebody go out, or he does it himself. All the time. And
all the time.
I'll always defend any of these guys. Even like the guys that mow the parks.
Yeah.
The grass is too long. It's like, guess what? There's only like, you know, maybe 8 guys on that crew. And we have a lot of open spaces in this community. They're doing their best. And the parks are all, they're beautiful. You know, and
I will tell you, the guy that mows Perberg's fields, I wave to him. I think the world of him, because he doesn't just mow it. It's manicured. Those kids can play on that field. He takes great pride in what he does. And you're right. I mean, it's easy to criticize from your armchair.
Right. You know? You remember the good. And then another thing that I've learned is the people aren't going to show up if they're happy with how things are going. They're only going to show up if they're mad about something, or they disapprove of something. And you know, that's another thing.
and you know, too, Matt, you had the good fortune of seeing a city as I did and as I was, how hard they do work.
Yeah.
You know, and the price of a lot of them pay their bodies, you know, when they get in their 40s and stuff, they realize, you know, I don't bounce like I used to, you know. and I'm one of those that didn't bounce well. Going back to all that we've talked about, what do you think the one most pressing problem on the city is today?
Good question. Gun to my head, I don't know. I think, you know, it's getting, you know, businesses in here, you know, and you know, retaining citizens, essentially. I mean,
yeah.
You get out of high school or you go to college, we want to get people back, you know, and that's what's going to make the city, you know, flourish. Exactly. I think that's a pressing issue. I think we're doing well in trying to get businesses in here. You know, I think we got to be more creative on, you know, on ways to get businesses in here. I know housing is also a huge issue, getting affordable housing for people. Like you said earlier, the elderly, we need to make sure that they're taken care of. So there's some pressing issues, but I would say the main one we got to worry about now is, you know, having this community flourish, getting businesses in here. You know, I don't know if that's cutting, you know, the business tax, you know, and having one uniform tax code, you know, and making it a little easier for construction to get done in the city, you know, maybe leave some of the building codes. You know, and these are obviously just, you know, ballparking here.
It's what I like about it is, yes, it's ballparking, but it's looking at things that are stopping progress.
Right.
I know of a company years ago was going to come here, years and years ago was going to come here and buy the old Eaton paper mill. It was a print operation out of just out of New York, and they were caught up in urban renewal. And by they finally said after 2 months, it's just not worth it. The guy in Pennsylvania is going to put a spur in the road for us out to Pennsylvania Turnpike, and you know, open the door. You guys are, nitpicking about curb cuts, and yeah, I think sometimes we the bureaucracy overwhelms the desire to do well, and that's not a criticism; it's just a fact of life.
Right. That's world government worldwide.
Yeah. Oh,
unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, as we go forward, and I hope you don't get discouraged, and I hope you stay in the game, because I think you bring a lot to it.
Thank you.
No, I mean that not because you're a good guy, but because I watch it. Some people, I don't want to judge them, but some people, I wonder why they get in it. You know, I mean,
right?
Not this council. This council seems to be pretty attuned and pretty up to date. I mean, there was some. I know a really good friend of mine caught some flack. Maybe didn't know about it. Right with the first meeting there about budget or whatever, but that I got a lot of I got a lot of feedback on that from people saying, you know, we don't even have a damn budget. But I wish one last request. Do whatever you can to bring our parks. Bring our parks back to the spectacular beauty they were. I drove by Springside Park. I grew up there. I grew up sliding there, ice skating, hiking. Yeah. And I see some work's being done, but you know, we just let our parks go. That was a sin.
And we're also actually, it's funny you bring that up, is there was a press release yesterday that there's going to be a meeting on the 28th of the council chambers for open spaces and parks, and it's going to be a community input session. You know, you can come there with gripes, ideas, compliments, whatever it is. You know, I think, you know, the city's ready to hear some things.
I think you're right, and I think now we have an administration and a council that are open to hearing things, and that's a compliment to all of you.
Yeah,
it really is, and I thank you for your service, and I also thank your family for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, believe me, I try to. When you get to be my age, you can't. You may got to look on a wall to find out what it was. Oh yeah, that. Really and truly, I want you to be on more often. I'm going to be reaching out to more of all the counselors, but because I think the public hearing you, other than in that formal setting, or they're calling up to complain the tree tree fell down. I have to ask you this too, and boy, I almost forgot. Can you? I got all these notes. Occasionally, I look at them. I almost bought the farm the other day when a tree fell on Arlington Avenue. I was pulling out of my driveway. This tree fell up and came crashing to the ground. Another 15 seconds, I wouldn't have to worry about being bald because my head would have been in between my shoulders. So I would have the city another cost, I understand, but they got to start taking some of these trees down.
Yeah, and it's been I just dealt with one, you know, and a lot of the stuff is budgetary. There's restraints there. It's budgetary, you know, and I don't know if it's the equipment or the personnel that is able to do it. Like, I know there's trees that can come down that our personnel can do. They have the equipment to do.
Yeah,
but there's other ones, obviously. I dealt with on Ashley Street this year.
Yeah.
That took a lot to get done, but it got done. There's been a few I had taken down this year, but there's definitely, I agree. There needs to be something because there's a lot of trees. You know, I got one in front of my house. My neighbor and I share it on the city street.
Yeah.
It's on its way out. You know, luckily it's not, you know, leaning towards my house, but in a lot of people are in that same situation. They don't feel comfortable.
Well, a guy told me the silver maples were planted by the CCC guys back in the 30s. They have reached their lifespan. Their lifespan 60 to 90 years. They passed their lifespan. So you can just check that out, silver maples. And whatever you can do, because that scared the living you-know-what out of me. Yeah. And I even took a picture of where my car was and where the tree fell. So, Matt, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I can't thank you and your family enough for offering your spare time, free time, to being a city councilor. And
no, thank you.
You, in my opinion, you've done a great job to date, and keep up the good work.
I appreciate your kind words. Thank you.
As Jimmy McCaffrey told me, God rest your soul, Jimmy, he said, you know what? I got elected to the city council, and it took me a year to find a men's room. So he said, that's why I didn't say, because I said to him, Jimmy, you're on a council, you don't say anything. He says, well, I couldn't find a men's room for a year or so. But I've watched you, and what you've added has been viable and well thought out, not just a kick in the slap in the knee.
I'm still learning. I'm still learning.
Oh, I learn every day. My wife tells me. Hey, listen, I do want to say this. Here's an announcement. Farmers Market, Roots Rising. I can't. What a wonderful organization. I'm telling you, wonderful organization that is. And so please support them. Also, I do want to read this. There's going to be a preparation for the new collection system. City officials will be hosting several of these community meetings. Wednesday, August 21st, 9:30, Ralph Fryo Center. Tuesday, September 9th, 6 p.m., Morningside School Cafeteria. Thursday, September the 12th, Reed Middle School, 6 p.m. Monday, September 16th, 6 p.m., Berkshire Athenaeum. Go and find out right from the horse's mouth what's going on. As I always say,
I'm also going to be asking today if we can add a couple more of those sessions in Ward 3, because I had some concerns about that. So, sorry to cut you off. I just want to
That's what this show's for. Are you kidding me? Listen, I know some of you don't like this, but it's my show. So I will say, God bless. And today, make somebody smile. Remember, each other, that's all that we have in this world. So I'm kind of tired of the hatred, the vitriol, and all of these things. And so if you can make the world a better place, like Matt's trying to do, like I try to do, I'm not perfect, but we try. God bless. Matt, the best to you and your family. And
thank you. You as well.
Thank you for coming on. I'll be reaching out to you in about a month.
Sounds good. I'm always available. Bye-bye. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Take care.